Well, good morning. Good to see each one here today, and just ask that the Lord would bless our thoughts to be a blessing to each one that's here. I want to try to put something on the board this morning. Would like to ask you to use a little bit of imagination, maybe. So, that turned out a little better than I thought it might. What I've drawn on the board is how would you describe this without using the word? It's a line that follows a path that reconnects to itself. It has a diameter, it has a circumference. Would you call that a circle? So I've drawn what I would call a circle here on the board. So if I do this, well, this is where it's really going to get kind of iffy about my... abilities here. Well, this is scary because I'm going to use my left hand. So, if I put that detail in there, what would you think that I might, what I've drawn is some other lines that look kind of like, would you take a picture? Is these other lines in there, what would you say I was trying to portray? What's that? A sphere. A sphere. We generally would maybe instead of say a sphere, because that's kind of a complicated word to say sometimes using our lips and our tongue and all of that, but we'd probably just say a ball. Something looks like a ball. We wouldn't say we went outside and played with a sphere and a bat. We'd say a ball and a bat. But so the whole idea is I want us to get the thought of having a sphere. A sphere is something that is three-dimensional. A circle is just two-dimensional. It has, you might say, length and width, but it doesn't have any depth to it. But a sphere does. So I want us to think about a subject this morning that I'd like to title Sphere of Influence. And it's not the first time I felt impressed about this, but I want to take it in maybe a little bit broader sense today. Sphere of Influence. I feel like that we all have a... Well, let's back up and say this. Anytime I take a sphere or a ball type shape and I cut a cross section of it, I always end up with a circle. It doesn't matter at what angle I cut it. If I slice a ball in half, at any point that I slice it, whether it's vertically or horizontally or at a 45 degree angle or whatever, however I slice a sphere, it always ends up being a circle. So a sphere is circles, many circles, that ends up being becoming three-dimensional. All right, so I'm saying all of that to try to make it a visual thing for us to understand of what a sphere looks like. Okay, so I'm thinking about a sphere of influence being the product or the accumulation of many circles of influence. And we might have a circle that of influence that pertains with our occupation. I feel like that there's a circle of influence on my job. People influence me and I influence them. And if you don't feel like you have anybody that you influence, I would say I would have to take exception to that. We have a circle of influence that involves our family, our immediate family, and our extended family. And we're all impacted. There's influences that happen to us because of family, especially those influences that seem to be kind of extraordinary or kind of beyond just the commonplace things. We have a circle of influence that's our home. And the home that all of us have that consists of the those that live in the house, there's an influence there. It influences everyone there. And everyone that lives in the home is part of the influence. We have an influence circle in the congregation, in the church. There's forces that influence us, and we influence the circle. And there's a circle of influence with our neighbors. Yes, we don't have maybe as much contact with neighbors as we do family or our home or our work associates, but we still are impacted by our neighbors. There's a circle around us. I have a neighbor that I don't spend a lot of time with, but I know kind of what he does. And every once in a while, early in the morning, I hear a beeping, and it's him unloading some materials for his cabinet building. He's out there. I can hear his little skid steer backing up because he's unloading a truck of materials out there. And I know that he knows when I make noise, he kind of is aware of what I'm doing. It's an influence. We have influence circles of our friends, those that go beyond the walls of the congregation and maybe people that we've known from when we were in school or maybe when we worked at McDonald's or someone that we met. Maybe for Anita and I, it's someone that we knew from childhood. It's a friend. We get a letter and or a Christmas card from an old classmate friend of Anita's almost every year. And it's just a friend, but there's an influence between, there's a circle of influence in that. And all of this put together becomes three-dimensional, and it makes a sphere of influences. We have many, many circles of influence in our life. So I'd like to look at a verse in Joshua chapter 24 and notice how powerful the sphere of influence is and how it impacts all of us. In Joshua, I think all of us here are very familiar with who Joshua was and what caliber. He was one of those spies that, although that there were giants in the land, he was one of those spies that said, we're well able to take the land. Whereas the other 10 were frightened because of giants. Joshua matured into being not only Moses' helper, but the leader of the Israelites. And Joshua had called the people in the 24th chapter. He had called them to make a decision whether they would worship the Lord or whether they would turn and worship something else. So he was using his power of influence to insist that they would follow a good path. And I remember those times as a parent and as being a child at home, my parents told me and influenced me that I was going to do certain things. They didn't ask me if I wanted to, but their influence caused me to do some things or to not do some things. So in Joshua chapter 24, in verse 31, it says, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." So this earlier in the service, I was talking about, at prayer request time, I was talking about the man that wrote the music to one of the songs we wrote, and how that some of his descendants are among us today, and the connection there, just the biological, literal connection, but they are still among us as a body of people, of a fellowship today, and how that it's important for us. There was an influence there. There was a sphere of influence that's impacted, and it's not just that, but there's been the factor of the influence of the congregation, of the church, that has drawn those and kept those. All of that has had a part in those that's part of this fellowship today, this church today, that kept, this song was probably written over 100 years ago. So we have here Joshua said here about Joshua, that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So this sphere of influence kept the people on track, on target. It influenced them, it impacted them to make good choices for their spiritual journey. So we have a phrase that we say sometimes, evil communication corrupt good manners. You ever heard that? I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 10 beginning. So Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll look here beginning in verse 10, if I can find that. It said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from the path, their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." So he's talking here about the influence of the sphere of sinners. How many of us here have influences that come against us, that recognize we have influences that come against us that are not from God, that are not wholesome, that are something from the evil one, from the enemy? So he said here in the beginning of where I started to read, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't allow the influence of that circle, of that sphere you find yourself in, don't allow that influence to change who you are, to change what you do, to change your appetites, to change your habits, to change your direction in life. Just like we want a good circle or a good sphere of influence to keep our children going in the right direction, just because we might tell them that evil communications corrupt good manners, don't go and make too close of friends with someone that you don't want to be like. We all know that there's circles that impact us all around us. And he said here, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So he was aware that there was a sphere of influence, a circle of influence that was going to try to draw them aside, to turn them in a direction that he didn't want them to go. So he said, be careful. Don't let the sinners entice you. They're going to invite you to cast their lot amongst them. They want to be friendly to you. But they want to be friendly to you because they want to have an impact. We want to be friendly to people because we want to have an impact on them. We want people to want to be a Christian, don't we? So we try to be friendly to people. I think we ought to be friendly just because that's the right thing to do. But we want to try to build relationships where people will want to come and have some of what we have, because I feel like we have something that's valuable, that's beneficial to mankind. We don't teach hatefulness. We don't teach vengeance and all of those kind of things. We want people to have the grace of God in their hearts and in their lives. So he said here, be careful. Don't let the circle of influence impact you and draw you away into something that would end up contaminating you, corrupting your good manners. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, notice what he says here in Psalms 1 and 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Happy or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Someone that doesn't allow themselves to be impacted by the circle or the sphere of influence. All right? So what do you recognize as the sphere of your influence? You know, the people that you spend time with and the things you spend time doing is your sphere of influence. If you spend time with people that have some things in common with you, they're going to have an influence on you. You spend time with people that follow the same trade, they're going to have an influence. The potential for influence is there. You come to to a social event, and you do that on a consistent basis, it's going to have an influence on you. You spend time on social media, it's going to have an influence on you. There is going to be something that begins to happen. And if we are not very, very diligent, the influence of the sphere that we have subjected ourselves will change who we are, will change the direction that we're taking. So I want to challenge us this morning to think about what are we subjecting ourselves to, and are we allowing that circle of influence to change us? Are we allowing it to take us down a path that maybe a few years ago we said we wouldn't go down that path? We are all susceptible to that. We all have spheres of influence. Yes, I've had influence on my children. And I probably today they would all say, he really influenced me in some matter. I hope it was all for good. But it may be that they feel that I influenced them in not so good a way. But we have all been impacted and influenced. But as we are become more and more mature and adults, we have to be able to take responsibility for the influences we subject ourselves to and be very purposeful in whether or not we allow those influences to impact us. Because we're going to be surrounded by circles of influence, and it's going to become a very complicated sphere of influence. I would like to turn and look at a couple stories where it's talking about a sphere of influence that would have been almost impossible without God's help to not succumb to. I'd like to turn to the book of Daniel, and I would like to notice in the first chapter, in the sixth verse, it says here that, now maybe we'll read beginning verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among them, these were the children of Judah. So apparently these four were of the tribe of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And we know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as typically is what we refer to them at. But they weren't the only ones that came from the land of Israel. They weren't the only ones that were subjected to this sphere of influence. So it was more complicated than that they were taken captive and put in a prison camp. That'd be quite a circle of influence, wouldn't it? They were taken by force from their homeland, and they were subjected to different customs. If you leave here and you went to the services that they're going to have in Germany, they're going to have some different customs that you won't understand. It's not that they're bad, and it's not that they're wrong and we're right, or we're right and they're... It's not that at all. But there's some different influences, different spheres of influences. So they came to this, these different influences, and they may have had a custom of eating differently, different foods, different times of the day. They might have started their the way they went about things may have been totally different. So I just want to challenge us here that these were not the only four. There were others that were brought into that circle and that sphere of influence. And the ones that were brought into that, of all of them, I don't know if there was 12, if there was 50. I don't know how many there was, but there was a number of them that was brought into that sphere of influence, and we only know the names of four. Why is it that we only know the names of four? They were in a very precarious position. They were pretty much forced to eat food that had been offered to idols. They were forced to drink things that were at least laced with alcohol, if they weren't highly of high alcohol content. I don't know. They were being subjected to procedures and practices that they weren't used to. It was completely different than the sphere of influence that they had been in at home. So how did this turn out? You remember the story. Daniel and his three friends said, "We can't do it. We can't eat this stuff. You're gonna have to give us an opportunity here. Try us for a period of time and see if we look worse for the wear. If we look like we're being malnourished, if test us and see if we're not learning like we should." And so they took away the meat that had been offered to idol, and they took away the drink that they felt that they shouldn't be taken care of. And it says in verse 17 of this first chapter, "And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king commanded, communed with them, and among them all, he found none like..." Among all of them. We don't know again how many there were, but there was quite a number. I think there was 10 or more, maybe 50. I don't know. I don't have any reference material that tells me. But the king communed with them, and he found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. You get that? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So, not just equal, he found them better, and not just barely better, but 10 times as good. And not just 10 times as good as the ones that were in their age bracket, but 10 times better than what? Than all of the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. He's talking about those that were seasoned, those that were experienced, those that he had become confident in, those that he relied on to tell him, give him advice on complicated things. He found these young men, these four young men that had been taken and had refused to come under the sphere of influence that they had been subjected to, he found them 10 times wiser than all of those that he had been depending on up to this time. I feel like that this is a improbable sphere of influence. So instead of being influenced by the evil, remember the old saying, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Instead of being influenced by that, they begin to become an influence in that realm. So I want to challenge us this morning that if we have to be aware of what's influencing my decisions, what's influencing my choices, what's influencing the path that I'm taking, what's causing me to make the choices in life, choices of direction in life. How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? What do I cultivate? What do I cultivate as far as my reading material? What do I absorb? I have to take responsibility. You know, Daniel and his three friends, they were all thrown in together and they were given. I honestly believe that Daniel and his three friends ate some of that food that had been offered to the idols in ignorance. I don't know how long it went along until they realized this stuff is being offered to the idols and then brought to us. I don't know how long it was. How long was it before they realized they were being served pork instead of lamb or beef? I don't know what it was. But I think they had eaten it for a few days or whatever. But they realized they were being subjected to a circle of influence that they felt conscientiously opposed to. So I want to ask us this morning, are we aware of the circle of influence, the sphere of influence that we live in today, and what it's doing to us in our spiritual man? There's a lot of hype in this world, depending on who you listen to, about things that contaminate us through our food sources, or our cleaning materials, or the air we breathe, or the activities that we do. There's people all around us that will tell us, not religious people, there's people around us that will tell us that we're killing ourselves with eating hydrogenated corn oil or corn syrup or whatever it is that's bad for us. And we get to looking on the ingredients, and sure enough, the thing that we like has got some of that in there. And people will tell us, you know, you're breathing air in that's contaminated with exhaust fumes and all of the, you know the story. We have all of these people that's telling us that our influences are ruining us. And that's the reason we don't live any longer. That's the reason we have cancer. That's the reason we have this and that and something else. And why there's more Alzheimer's or more autism. There's all kinds of things out there that tell us all of that. We have to be aware of what is impacting us. We have to be attentive to this. And Daniel and his three friends, I don't know how long they ate pork. I don't know how long they ate stuff that had been, I don't know what it was that they felt conscientiously opposed to. But they came to the place that said, we can't do this anymore. And instead of being influenced by, they became influencers to their circumstance, the sphere that they found themselves in. All right? As sincere Christians today, we can feel that everywhere we look and everywhere we turn, there's opposition to what we believe, the code we live by, the standards we hold ourselves to. It can be a standard of honesty. It can be a standard of modesty. It can be a standard of not being lazy. It can be a standard of spirituality. Everywhere around us, we feel like we're in a sphere of influence that's trying to sap us of all of our power and strength. It feels like that no one is fully supportive of carefully living before the Lord. Just like Daniel. But I want to tell you, there's hope. You know, there's three people in the Bible that I believe were heavily influenced by the character of Daniel. They were people that came, that followed Daniel. Not like Peter, James, and John followed Jesus, but they followed him chronologically. And their names are Nehemiah, Ezra, and Esther. There may be others. But did you know that I believe when Nehemiah, maybe Nehemiah's time frame and Ezra's time frame overlapped some of Daniel's time? I think it did. Can you imagine what it would be like to grow up in an age when Daniel was still alive? Maybe he was an old man. Maybe the kingdom had changed from the Babylonian government to the Persian Empire. Daniel is this old man that people refer to when they get in trouble because God's blessings. He's still having an influence. They're still turning to him. When they get in trouble, they said, you know, there's a man that lives in your kingdom that the God of heaven can give answers. I believe he can interpret what's going on up there. So they go get him, bring him in there. Daniel once again comes into an environment where everything that surrounds him is opposing who he is, and what he stands for. And yet, he's able to turn the tables around with the help of the Lord and influence them. But can you imagine growing up as a little boy in captivity, don't really belong in this place, and your parents saying, there's somebody that lives up there in the kings, that's in the government, that's a real example. He listens to the Lord. He prays three times a day, son. He prays for his people. Did you know when he was a young man, he got thrown in a den of lions? Did you know that he interpreted a dream that the king forgot? Did you know he's been able to influence our living conditions because of who he was? It could have been a lot worse for us to be captive down here along the river Chebar. It could have been a lot worse for us if it hadn't have been for Daniel. I can imagine Nehemiah and Ezra's daddy saying, son, I want you to grow up and be more like Daniel than those other 48 men. You know what happened to those others that didn't take the same stand that Daniel and his three friends took? They were probably still in the number that accused Daniel of worshiping something besides the king. You remember that? What happened to them? Daniel, he spent a night with the lions and all of the rest of those that had joined forces in accusing Daniel ended up becoming dinner for the lions. It said that the lions broke their bones before they ever touched the bottom of the den. All of those that had allowed themselves to be influenced by their circumstances, by the sphere of influence, they lost their lives. And Daniel and his three friends come out unscathed. I can imagine the parents of Ezra and Nehemiah saying, "Son, I want you to be more like Daniel. Don't be like," and they may have knew the names of the other people. "Don't be like them. Don't allow the circumstances around us to influence us." You think Mordecai ever told Esther about Daniel? I think he did. I'm just surmising. Daniel, he's one of my heroes. I believe he was one of the Israelites. He's been a hero for the Israelite nation all down through time since he was here. I believe he told Esther about it. You know, I believe that's one of the reasons Esther was able to go in to the king unsolicited and take a stand for her people because of Daniel. Because Daniel wasn't impacted by the circle of influence. He influenced it instead of it influencing him. I grew up hearing about Daniel and his three friends as a young boy, just like I want my grandchildren to hear about today. I want my grandchildren to hear about Daniel in the lion's den, and I want them to hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast into the fiery furnace and yet coming out unscathed. I want them to hear those stories. But I want them to get a principle that right in the midst of a sphere of influence that overcome the majority, they became an influence to the majority. So I want to challenge us today, right in the time we live in, where it looks like everything around us is going to influence us to be a weak man or woman of God. I want to challenge us today to influence the sphere, not let the sphere influence us. I'd like to turn to Acts, the 6th chapter, and notice the story of Stephen here. Stephen was a common man, I guess you could say, beginning in verse 8. Stephen had been selected to be one of those that would take care of more of the temporal affairs of the church. We think, well, he's not a preacher, he's not an apostle, he's not very important, but he obviously had a connection with God, and it was real. It said, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and an Alexandrians," a synagogue. That's a place where they worshiped the Jews, the Judaism. They worshiped after the manner of Judaism. All right? "And of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. So they got a group together to come and begin to contest what Stephen was doing. What he was, I don't know, it doesn't say he was preaching. It sounds like he went around and when he saw a need, he did it. He was praying and the Lord was blessing his efforts. It said, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Does this sound kind of like Daniel and his three friends? Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place, this holy place, and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Partial truths, half truths, false statements, all of that. And they done it by stirring up this sphere of influence that was all around. It's all around us today. And it can be stirred up, it seems like, at a moment's notice. We read about it, I believe Brother Michael had it in one of his papers that he circulated, that there was a word that somebody had did something, one of the Christians in Pakistan had did something that was considered like defamation to the Quran, and they went around and they invaded a big mob got together, and they went and went into the homes of the Christians, and they pulled all their stuff out on the street and set it on fire and burned all their stuff, their clothes and their motorcycles, and there was a picture he posted, just the remains of maybe their furniture. I don't know what all they brought out. But they just done something destructive because they stirred up a mob. There was this severe of influence was all around them, and they got it all stirred up. So I want to challenge us today to consider the circles and the sphere of influence that's impacting you individually, your homes, your family, and consider, is it a sphere of influence for good, or is it one that's going to bring leanness to my soul? Is this one that's going to draw me closer to the Lord, make me more motivated for His cause, more dedicated to His purpose in life? Or is it going to cause me to become more centered on me or my fleshly appetites and ambitions? I'm challenged today to consider, what am I allowing the circles of influence around me, what am I allowing it to do to my soul's condition? I want us all to be healthy in our spirits and in our souls. So I want you to consider that. I'm going to leave it with you. You pray for me.